Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
With delirious joy, you've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am, of course, your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me, as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley. Isn't that a pretty dress? She's so pretty. And, of course, the amazing Ross Allen Skorshevsky. Engineering the show, as always, in the background, pushing buttons and twisting knobs and trying to stay awake, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray. Engineer extraordinaire. And a little crazy. Making sure that you can hear and see us all around the world. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. ask@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us a question about anything about relationships. We'll take questions about anything, honestly. Ideally, it's about relationships. Any questions you have, wondering about dating, struggles with your spouse, whatever you got, and you would like to know what somebody thinks, send it to us. We'll tell you what we think. You get to stay totally anonymous. Nobody knows who you are. We, in turn, are then brutally honest. This is the one show in Christianity that is just about brutal honesty, which makes, quite frankly, a lot of people uncomfortable, but it is what it is, okay? So this is the show. If you're really concerned about how your feelings are being dealt with, don't email us, okay? This is not the show of warm and fuzzy. We are so far from warm and fuzzy, you have no idea. It's not that we're intentionally mean. We're just naturally mean.
But it just comes naturally. Yes, it just,
kind of a gift, actually. It's just, what we're trying to do is just take all the feelings out of it. Everybody's so concerned about everybody's feelings, everybody's afraid to get around to the truth. Well, I get it. When you really deal with somebody one-on-one in real life, you would be very concerned about their feelings. Mm-hmm. We certainly would be. I am all the time. But if you just take that out of it, you just get to the truth a lot quicker. It might sting a little bit, but we warn everybody ahead of time. So if you're up for it and would like to know what we think, whether or not you agree with us is, quite frankly, irrelevant. You may or may not. Hopefully we get you, at a minimum, just rethinking your position on things. And hopefully maybe give you some advice that will help you. Anyway, so that's how it works. So what have you got for today?
Okay, I thought this was a terribly fascinating article. It says, deceptive affection may actually keep relationships going.
See, Ross, that's what she has for you.
Deceptive affection.
It seems like affection, but really deceptive. It's deceptive.
Okay, what that actually means.
What is it? I don't know what that means. What does it mean?
It means that an individual in a romantic relationship chooses to express affection he or she does not actually feel.
So like hugging somebody if you don't feel like hugging them.
Right. Right.
That's what I do to Ross all the time.
Yes. And you're nice to
it's
him.
It's been the existence of a relationship from day one. No. What happens when you take his daughter?
Yeah.
I'm nice to him and I don't feel it at all. So what are you going to do? All right.
Now this article,
it's all a sham.
It's specifically sham. Talking more about dating and how dating. It tends to prolong the dating relationship because you're not really honest with your feelings. But they say it's relatively common. One participant confessed that she didn't want to hug or cuddle her boyfriend because she was in a bad mood, but she did it anyway. When one woman's boyfriend asked if she liked his new haircut, she lied and said she did it in order to spare his feelings. So you're just not, it's just like what you say. You don't have to be puking honest with everything.
Honesty is not always the best policy.
I think it's a nice thing.
Why you're just
couples
nice.
Should do this. I don't know about the dating thing. If there's any place where there is room for real honesty, it should be dating.
Yes.
But when you're married and your wife says, does this make me look fat? The answer is always no. Yeah. Even if it makes her look like the Hindenburg, you still say no, okay? It's not lying. You just be polite. Be nice to people. Yeah. How about you hug your spouse when you don't feel like hugging them? See, that's a good thing.
See, that's the problem. People will only hug or kiss or have sex or whatever.
If they feel like it.
If they feel like it. If you don't feel like holding your wife's hand, you won't do it.
Should be happening every day, go learn it.
See, God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, yeah. Christ died for us. When we were the most unlovable. Yeah. Yep. When we deserved to go straight to hell.
See, Diane?
What?
When you're the most unlovable, he still
died. You say Diane goes to hell? He's going to hell?
Thank you.
Just the bottom line is that God shows his love for us even when we're unlovable. Yeah. Why can't we do that to people?
Yeah.
Why can't you be nice to someone if you don't feel like it?
Because people are
Why is that
jerks.
Deceptive? So they call it deceptive. I think it's a
Well, he said, the one expert says, despite the harmful connotations, this isn't necessarily negative behavior because it really can help maintain a relationship and add to it. And I would say, especially like you said, in marriage.
In marriage. Now,
you
again,
don't always feel like doing those
if
things.
If there's one time that you want to be or have the freedom to be as honest as you want, if you want out with somebody, certainly during the dating process, okay?
Yeah.
But during marriage, this I wouldn't call it deceptive affection. I would just call it affection, despite how you feel.
Intentional affection.
Intentionally
nice. It's intentional.
Nice. It's easy to be nice when somebody's nice to you.
Mm-hmm.
What's hard is to be nice to someone like, you know, Diane.
Yes.
No, she's a nice lady. But I mean, be nice to someone who's not nice to you.
Yeah.
Well, inside you're thinking, oh, you're a jerk. Well, what's nice to walk up to him and say, boy, you're a jerk. No. Yeah. Well, I'm just being honest. No, you're being mean, okay? No. How about you walk in love? So, I think the title, deceptive, that's a terrible way of saying it. I just call it being nice. How about you just be nice?
Yeah.
If you're only nice to people that are nice to you, the world spins out of control very quickly. Yeah. Certainly in marriages, it would spin out of control very quickly. There's times you feel awful.
Well,
sometimes your wife irritates the dickens out of you. Sometimes you want to reach out.
But hold her hand anyway instead
of
strangling her.
Yeah.
You don't want to hold your hand. You want to smack it.
Yeah. I mean, you might have visions of strangling your husband in his sleep, you know, praying, oh, Lord, he has to go sometime. I'm just speeding up the process. You know, instead of doing that, how about you be nice? Yeah. All right? That's not being deceptive.
Well, the thing of it is, when you're dating, of course, you feel like, and you have all this hot and bothered, you want to hold each other's hands and do that. That kind of wears off after several years of marriage. But
not if you're with me.
Oh, Ross, come on. I'm going to talk to Leslie one of these days.
I want to hold Ross's hand just because he's so cute.
That's right.
But no, you're right.
But you don't feel that, like,
know,
when you're dating, but that doesn't mean that just because you don't feel like it, you never touch each other or hold each other's hand or do anything like that, because it's the newness wears off.
Nope.
And you have to do it anyway. Oh, Ross.
That's why you get hair. Like I have. I've been bald for so long and just shaving my head. Now my hair's back. It's like being with a new man.
Oh.
That's why I change so much for my wife. So she thinks she's with a different man every day.
I think you're delusional.
No.
I know you are.
That's why I encourage my wife, dye your hair. Cut it.
So everyone gets used to the person except Ross.
Because I'm constantly changing.
He is. He's kind
of
a weirdo.
He's a new man every day.
All right. Okay, so that's our opening salvo. We will be back with your emails right after this break.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
Go on, take my life. It's all right with me.
What kind of song is that?
Human sacrifice.
Elijah's room.
Elijah's room.
Oh, Elijah's room. She's got me running.
Jimmy Bradshaw.
Nothing to please.
Check out his music at jimmybradshaw.com. What do you got there?
Okay, parenting question to start off the day. She says, my son is 8 years old, and I was wondering, how long should I wait to teach him about the biblical reasons we shouldn't have sex before marriage, the effects of pornography, the effects of drugs or alcohol? Should I wait till he's older or start right now explaining some of these things to him? Do you think he's too young or should I wait?
At eight? Yeah, I think you're too young. I think he's too young. That's a little intense at 8 years old. Good grief.
Eight.
I mean, you still should be playing, you know, with BB guns and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think? 12, 13, somewhere in there? But my advice, where's the father? She shouldn't be doing any of this at all, period.
If my son, who's 8 years old, comes up to me and asks me, because he saw something on TV or heard something in regards to any of these, I'd address it appropriately for his age of 8.
If it was a sexual question, if it was
something about substance abuse, because he'll hear it, see it, unfortunately, without my intent, but I'm going to address it. He heard it just this other men's group that we had. We were down there. I want my son growing up in this environment where he's rubbing shoulders with men of faith. And one of the topics of conversation came up was divorce. And it was in the video, and then I talked to him about it, but I didn't let him in all the details, but I let him know what it was that he was seeing, and if he had questions, he could talk to me about it. I'm the filter for that boy.
Yeah. So anyway, if they come up with questions, find creative. I mean, parents have done this forever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always a little uncomfortable, but I just get a little creeped out when I hear a mom, unless she's a single mom, which is sad and not ideal, saying, when should I talk to my boy about masturbating or something? Good Lord. Your husband should be talking to him. And even if she is a single mom, she should talk to the dad and say, hey, you need to talk to him.
If he's in the picture.
Every study has shown, listen to me, girls, every study has shown that when it comes to the moral decisions of children, men have way more influence than the woman. So much so, it's almost depressing for women. I mean, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. And state studies, religious studies, secular studies have all shown this. The single greatest influence in the moral decisions of children is always the father. And you can boo-hoo about it all day long, but it is what it is, which makes it hard if your husband is a slob and a bum. Mm-hmm. The bottom line, it'll be hard to really fight that because he will influence that kid. That's why you girls should use your brains when you're dating and make sure you find a man of character. Okay, so my advice anyway to this lady is, when should I talk about my kids about this? Never. That's your husband should do this. That's what I think. Unless, of course, he is a very ungodly guy, not in the picture or whatever, then you got to do it.
Get grandpa. Get an uncle.
You know what? That's right. Even then, get your dad to do it. Get an uncle. So there must be somebody godly in your life, or get some godly guy in the church. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I don't think a woman should be. I'm just telling you. All the studies have shown it's not very effective. For mm-hmm. some reason, you can moan and whine about it, and I know it's politically incorrect because women are just as important as men. Of course you are, but everybody's different, okay? Mm-hmm. And all the studies have shown, again, all of them, even the ones that don't like Christians, have shown. It's true. MSNBC talked about one, that they said that men have double the influence. Other studies have shown greater than way double. Some of it's like multiple times greater. That men have the greatest influence on the moral decisions of children, period. It is what it is. My advice, ladies, your husband should be doing it. If you don't have a good husband to do it, get a father. It's some guy. What's creepier than your mom sitting down and talking to you about masturbating? I mean, oh my gosh.
I have had those conversations, but it is probably due more to the fact of my line of work. Because my kids...
I still think it's so easy for you to talk about it. Yeah,
and because they listen to you, they watch the shows, they're around when I'm talking about work, so...
No, I get it. I'm just telling
different.
You.
To me, this is the benefit.
Ideally, the best thing is you get some guy talking into the life of these kids. I'm saying, that they can't do it. It's just, I just think ideally you get a guy to do it. Mom needs to support it. Sure. And here's the thing, and it's more uncomfortable. You know, you need to talk to your daughter about, her period and all these weird things. Some guy doesn't want to talk to her. But even when it comes to the girls, the greatest influence on the moral decisions of the girl is that father. Mm-hmm.
And this is the beautiful benefit of being plugged into a church where there's a community of faith, where if there is that discrepancy of a father or a mother, you can rely upon that community of faith to be the step-in mother, the step-in father. And, just to think that mothers have to... I mean, I grew up with just a mother. Never did we have these conversations. But mm-hmm. I would have been absolutely all for getting some kind of information, whether it was intentionally from a man within the church or an uncle,
somebody
it was never thought of.
Yeah. Well, we had a mom and a dad. My mom did all the talking. My dad never said a word. And I'll tell you what, we were hellions.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. We were just hellions.
Making it up as you go.
And I've talked to my brothers about this. Well, the one brother was not crazy. And,
and debatable.
I said, do you think we would have acted differently if dad would have talked to us about this? And he said, he's absolutely convinced. Because that's exactly what I think. Yeah. If my dad would have sat down with us and said, boys, this is what you do. You don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple conversation, I think, would have had a dramatic impact on our behavior. But nobody talked about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mom kind of gave us the basic ABCs, but didn't say anything. And dad never said a word. And it's very destructive. But anyway, whether you agree with me or not, you want to know my opinion, that's my opinion. You have a son When should you, mom, talk to your son about all the sex? My opinion is you shouldn't. You should have your husband do it. If there's no husband, I would advise getting some other guy involved.
And you're saying 8 is too young. Wait until...
8's a little creepy, I think.
Except...
Man, I didn't find out about this stuff.
It's going to come across. Yeah,
when it starts, here's the thing. You'll know when it's coming across. Absolutely. Because they'll talk about it. They'll ask you questions. When you know they're asking you questions about the stuff, then that's the time.
Yeah.
So
the one area that I think you may need to start talking about earlier is the whole pornography issue, only because they say that the average, now this is the average age of first exposure that children, boys see porn is 11.
Wow.
11.
Doesn't surprise me.
Because of all of the media, of the technology, the computers, the everything. So
talking to them when they're young.
Yeah.
I just think my best advice, get your husband. Yeah.
Well, that
is the one who should be doing
it.
Unless he's a mess, then you got
to
find an alter. And if nothing else, then you got to do it. It's not like it's hopeless. I'm just saying, and compared to, again, according to all those people who've looked at it, when it comes to the moral decisions of both girls and boys, the single greatest influence in the life of those children, by all studies, is the father. When that man speaks in, he has huge impact into how they behave. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more emails right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
We cry out to be satisfied. The heaven open and pour out light.
Back, Mark Gunger, along with Diane Briley, Ross Allen, Skorzewski, answering your emails about love, marriage, relationship, and everything else under the sun. What do you got now?
Okay, this one starts off with a little note for me. He says, Diane, ask Tim to install mute buttons for you so that you don't have to talk over Mark and Ross during their usual nonsensical rants and tirades.
Hey,
it would result in more sanity for you and more emails on the show. Keep up the good work. But anyway, that's
mute,
not
but
his
that mutes
question.
Us.
Yes, I get to mute the two of y'all. That's what he says.
That's what I
need. That's an evil man.
Okay, anyway, here's his question.
I'm trying to talk.
Silence falls upon the airwaves.
It's the cone of silence.
The cone of silence.
He says, I've heard many times about how what women do to their husbands can turn them off sexually. Mm-hmm. What can the guys do when they see this happening? How do they protect their fragile egos from jumping off the cliff never to return again? I think he's talking about when women...
Shut them down.
Reject guys.
Crash and burn.
Shuts them down,
You know, you just got to talk to them. And it's a horribly uncomfortable conversation to have.
You think?
It is. There's nothing more intimate than that and more vulnerable than that. And, you know, you guys, you can make a choice. Either you can let your sex life go to the toilet and be miserable for the next 40 years of your life, or you can get a pair and talk to the girl. And it'll be uncomfortable. She might cry or might get upset, but better to wrestle it through. You just need to talk and say, listen, we're having a problem. And just talk to her. It's the only thing you can do. And just be very honest and say, look, here's the result of what's happening. Da, 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 blah, blah, blah. I'm getting discouraged. I feel like, you know, whatever you're feeling, you just need to talk about it. It's really hard for people to do this. Mm-hmm. It's really hard. But the alternative, what you need to focus on more than how miserable you are talking about it, more than how miserable you are and how uncomfortable you are to talk about it, how miserable you're going to be for the next 40 years of your life. You need to focus on that, because you really get a picture of that. It will help you get past this uncomfortable level. There's no solution to it. You know, it's like, you know, what can I do about the splinter in my finger? You got to take it out.
Yeah.
Cut the finger off.
Well, I don't want to take it out. It hurts. You know, well, you still got to take it out. There's no, you know, I can give you all the advice in the world. Nothing's going
to
take.
There's no pain-free fix to this.
No, you
got to
pull it out, you know.
May I ask a question? Would you say in this, see, this is where I need my mute button. I'm going to stop being polite and asking. I'm just going to enforce my way. Do you not believe that tact is very important when having this conversation? Even though you're saying it's difficult.
No, it's difficult. But
I think most people go about it the wrong way. They put their foot down. You need to do this. Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
And not necessarily.
Oh, I've heard it this way.
That's the way they talk.
Because they're already in the toxic zone.
Yeah.
Tact is out the window.
I told you to be nice, but I'm telling you, sometimes, look, confrontation is uncomfortable. It's easy for us to sit and say, when you have confrontation,
you should be as calm as can be and think logically. And what I'm sharing, is it reasonable? Let's make a list of what's positive and what's negative. You know, I listen to PhDs and talk like that. Christian pastors talk like that all the time. The reality is it doesn't work.
Correct.
Most, you know, six-pack guys aren't sitting around thinking about, gee, is my emotion rational? Right. Should I make a list of why? You know, you listen to these guys. I listen to some pastor on radio, a PhD. You know, these guys are PhDs. You know, they think everybody thinks like them. The world does not think like you guys. That's why some of them are so stinking irrelevant. But they have, you know, Dr. So-and-so on conflict. When you're feeling conflict, I heard this guy, you should make a list and ask yourself, is what I'm feeling reasonable? Is what's unreasonable about it? What's the best way I could share it? What are negative ways? Now, who in the world does that?
Well, except some pinhead emotion.
Who's
how
got a PhD. That's what. Well, first of all, these guys don't have any emotion. They've been surgically removed at birth. That's how some of them wound up as PhDs. I'm not a big fan of them, if you can tell. But so, you know, so you're so highly educated, they think constantly very illogical. So
you're upset about something.
Look,
you're upset about something.
You're upset. I don't think there's any, you know, I know it can be negative, but all of it can be negative. Even making the list can still be negative.
Sure.
I know, but look, we're passionate human beings, and some people, you get some Italian chick who their whole life experience and families, you yell at each other. Puerto Ricans the same way.
Yeah.
Our whole life experiences, everybody yells at each other. You know, and then try to get them to make lists. It's absurd. Okay, so they yell. It's not the end of the world. Sometimes you have conflict and it's not handled best. Okay, now you can focus on, you shouldn't have said that to me, or you can start to focus on how can we communicate this and work through it. Sometimes conflict is very painful. Now, you don't want to be destructive.
Right.
You know, but to say that conflict needs to be handled without emotion or logical, because what Ross is saying is right. But I just think it's a heavy burden on people. There's people that they can't process in that way. They're really upset. If that means you guys got to yell at each other and cry and everybody's got to make up at the end, then so be it. Go yell at each other and make up. This whole idea of that,
yeah, we should never express negative emotions.
Yeah. It'd be great. Except that ain't going to happen. So I think conflict is good. I think it's healthy. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. Sometimes it's flat out hurtful. Sometimes you have to rebuild what you destroyed during the conflict.
Yeah.
You know, but you still have to deal with it. Just don't put it on a shelf, or eventually that shelf will break. We'll be right back.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
I don't really know what I'd do without you. Only love. My one and only.
It's been so long since I've had hair and seen the backside of my head. Making sure it's still there.
It's there. You got more hair than I got. Mm-hmm. The music of Michael O'Brien. Check out his music at michaelo.org.
Org. You forgot.
Why would he go org? Anyway, great music. Check it out. All right, what do you got?
Okay. Are you done with the turning white
stone? Yeah, I think so.
That? Okay. This one says, very unusual, interesting question.
All right.
Okay, so she says, first of all, I love the three of you. I was sure that if I ever wrote in, it would be because I needed a swirly, but here's my situation.
For those of you new to the program, where's my swirly button? I got to find it here. When people give us really outrageous, stupid comments... We give them swirlies, which means you stick your head in the toilet and you flush, and the water swirls around your head, and we call it a swirly. So usually when we get upset with people, we say, okay, you get a swirly, and then we push the swirly button. The other negative one is the goat button. Mm-hmm. And if we really think you're just talking ridiculous, there's the squawking. So we have these three buttons.
Swirly, the goat, and the chicken.
Yeah, the goat and the chicken. You get a swirly, it's bad. You get a swirly and a goat, it's really bad. You get a swirly, a goat, and a chicken. You're really an idiot.
It's the trifecta.
All right. So this lady says...
Yeah, I don't think you're really actually going to swirly her.
Okay,
anyway.
So she was afraid of a swirly writing. All right.
She's married and has two kids. She's gone back to school for art, to get an art degree, apparently.
Uh-huh.
So one of the classes she's in is called life drawing.
Oh, sure.
The majority of the grade comes from submitting a full-length, anatomically accurate rendering of yourself.
Oh, good Lord.
She says, I want to cry. I really like me, but I think only my husband should see me naked. I've written to the instructor, and her response was just to not post it in the class. Apparently not to let the rest of the class see it, but just give it directly to the instructor.
Why is the instructor a pervert?
This is what I look like in a sleeping bag.
I don't
know. It's true. It's a real
life. How is this possible? I need to take my clothes off to pass the class. Isn't that the definition of sexual harassment? She said, I know the answer is to stop and not do it, but I really need this class to graduate.
No, no, no. Do it, but you don't have to do your body. How are they going to know?
Right.
Go get Dolly Parton's body and put
There are lots of pictures.
Dream a little bit. This is the time where maybe the things that you don't have, you have all of a sudden.
Yeah. Draw yourself as you would like to be.
Maybe you're a little flat chested, but on that drawing, you're, you know, 36 double D. You know, what are they going to know?
Angelina Jolie.
Well, it's creepy
because you don't have to actually draw your naked. How are they going to know unless you're naked?
And they're not going to say, okay, now stand there naked. Let me compare your drawing.
Let me go. Yeah, get naked and let's see.
Get it anatomically correct? Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. It's the whole thing of being able to draw the form. It doesn't have to be your form. Just, told her, find somebody online
and draw
the picture.
Seriously, I don't know what kind of school she's going to. You could really have a case of inappropriateness. A lot of people don't have the guts or the makeup for that kind of confrontation. I'd go to the dean and say, what the heck is this? I got to get naked so this sicko teacher can imagine what it's like to see me naked. This is what part of inappropriate do you not understand? Yeah. I would think that teacher would get, you know, in trouble for that. But if you don't want to make waves and you don't want to draw yourself naked, draw somebody else naked. Put your head on it. What are they gonna know? Come on, people, you gotta be. Jesus said, be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Okay, what would a serpent do? Serpent wouldn't show himself naked. He'd show somebody else naked, you know, but be harmless. It's harmless. If you show some picture, just find some drawing. You know, if someone back in the 1800s, they got all those chubby naked chicks.
Yeah, find one. Because there's lots of naked art pictures already out there. Just copy one.
Just look at somebody else's body, but then put your face on it. What are they going to know? I think your teacher's a sicko. If your whole grade, graduating from school, boils down to that, but you don't have to actually do your body. And how are they going to know anyway? Unless you draw something so radically different, they'll know it's not you. Yeah. Well, what's the teacher going to do? Look at that and look at you and go,
that's not you.
I don't know if you did that accurately.
Yeah.
Then you do have a sicko. Yeah. Then you do go talk to the dean.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you don't want to get into a fight with the school and you just want to graduate, just draw somebody else's body.
When I was emailing back and forth with her and I suggested get somebody, you know, another picture, she's like, well, she didn't feel right about using somebody else and putting them out there that way. And I'm like, okay, posed naked. They've already allowed themselves for you to redraw them. I'm sure that these women would not have a problem with you redrawing.
First of all, how are they going to know? Look, the parts are all pretty much the same. Yeah. It's just a matter of, you know, degrees of this, that, or the other. For heaven's sake, it's not like your body's going to be that dramatically different than someone else who has breasts. For heaven's sakes, you don't want to show your body, show someone else's body. And how are they going to know? And we're not talking a photograph, it's a drawing. Can't you, as an artiste, take some liberties for heaven's sake?
License, artistic license.
I promise you, if I was going to draw my body, it would look like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, right?
With my head on it, posing. They might say, I don't think this is you. Oh, yeah, this is me.
And they'll say, prove it.
And then they could say, well, I was being correct. This is how I see myself.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, just take some.
This is my interpretation.
Take some incredibly gorgeous bod and put your head on it. And the teacher says anything. Well, this is how I see myself. And they'll just look at you and smile, I would think. Anyway, I think she's making a big deal over nothing.
Yeah. You can't overthink
that. This is an easy
one
to get around. Yeah. Firstly, if you're a confrontational person like myself by nature, I just start a whole world of hate. Not hate, but difficulty for this teacher by exposing this stupidity. Yeah. Sounds like a sicko to me.
Yeah.
I want you to show me what you look naked.
Yeah.
There's no reason for that. Don't these schools, art schools, you should have somebody pose naked?
Well, they do, yeah. They have someone
exhibitionist
in the middle,
who doesn't
in the middle of the room.
Draw, you know,
to draw.
Why you got to show yourself naked?
That would be like the teacher requiring every student in the class to be a model. Well, you don't have to be a model, but if they're wanting to see you. Now, I just recently I read this. It was like a human sexuality class or something at a university. And they
You were taking that class?
I read something about it where they had to like log and keep a journal of their masturbation exploits and
and
submit all of this to the teacher. So that the teacher could read about all of their own sexual experiences. I'm thinking there's something wrong with this professor or this instructor because you're reading all this about your students. I
think it's sicko, but first of all, if you're going to take a class titled that, there's something wrong with you in the first place, all right, in my opinion. But if you want to become an artist, let's face it, part of the artist's culture is painting the human form.
Yes.
All right? It is what it is. If you don't want to see and paint naked people, don't become an artist. I don't want us to tell you. It's just you know that's what they're going to teach you. There's a part of that. But why you got to show your body to anybody is absurd. It's an easy go-around. Just paint somebody else's. All right. We'll be back with more right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Oh, there's nothing like the feeling. Oh, what a precious thing. Lord, I get so happy. All I can do is say. First it gives me the melody, then it brings in the harmony. From out of nowhere, words seem to come. Boy, it tells me a story. I feel the power and the glory. It ain't me. He's given me the gift of song.
Jimmy Bratcher. Check out his music at jimmybratcher.com. I love that guy. I was just texting him during the break. He's hilarious.
I love Jimmy and Sherry, his wife.
Yeah. Great people.
They're awesome.
They're good peeps.
They are.
All right. What you got?
Okay. This one is the case of the missing wedding ring, she says. I'm a single 33-year-old woman from South Africa.
Woo! We love South Africa.
My biggest frustration I'm experiencing is the fact that a lot of men do not seem to be keen on wearing wedding bands. Why is this phenomenon so popular?
Wait. It's the case of the missing.
Why is this so popular? Also, how does a single woman avoid the cat claws to the face, figuratively, of course, from the missus, when you're blissfully unaware of the gentleman's nuptial status? Would love to hear your thoughts on this. God bless you, and thank you for an informative, quirky show.
Quirky? She obviously doesn't know the show. We're not quirky, we're weird.
Okay. So why do you guys do this, and how do you get around it?
Well, why do you think guys do it?
Pick up the single woman.
Yeah, for what purpose?
For sex.
For sex. Mm-hmm. This is an easy call, girls. You're sitting there wondering, well, how do I know if a guy's married? Listen, the minute he starts to claw all over your body, end of dating
whether
situation.
Whether he has a ring on or not.
Whether he has a ring or not.
Yeah.
I promise you, a single guy who's really a godly person is not going to claw all over your body. He's going to want to build a relationship with you for the possibility of marriage, okay? As soon as you're dating some guy and he starts to want to eee all over you, you get rid of him, whether he's single or married. It doesn't really matter. And I promise you, the married guys, that's all they want. They're already married. They're not
looking to build a relationship with you.
Yeah, they want a relationship with you, you silly goose. Come on, girls, how dumb can you be? It's a very simple one. As soon as he starts to act inappropriately sexually towards you, you dump his butt, whether he's got a ring or not. Why do men hide their rings? Because they want to find some other chick to have sex with. That's the only reason. And it'll show up really quickly, usually on the first date.
Yeah.
So I don't know what she's thinking. If she's dating guys who turn out to be married, they have got to be trying to get all over her.
Is that when you run into trouble with the missus when you're having sex with her husband?
Well, you shouldn't be having sex with anybody if you're not married to him. I mean, how goofy.
Yeah.
All right, she has a swirly.
Uh-oh.
Where's the swirly button? Silly girl! Stick your head in the toilet, flush it, and give yourself a swirly. Snap out of it. The only way you could even possibly be having this encounter is if you're having sex with these guys. Stop it!
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get the cat claws for most wives if you're just sitting there talking about the latest football game on TV.
Yeah, and if she does, I mean, if you are on a date and all of a sudden the wife shows up and starts screaming and hollering, you go, hey, I didn't know he's married, you know? I mean, that can happen. But I promise you, you will find out very quickly. The only reason a guy will do this is if he wants to have sex with you and doesn't want you to know he's married. That's all. But you shouldn't be having sex with anybody. So it should be a dead end for him anyway. Mm-hmm. So stop it. Next email.
Simple answer to that.
Oh, pretty simple. Good grief. What the heck's the matter with people?
Okay, next email.
Are you ever found out without yours on? Do you ever forget it? Do you ever take it off?
I'm a lot fatter than I was when I got I can't get it off.
It's stuck.
I can't get it off. Actually, I've had to resize once. I was 118 pounds when I got married.
It's a lot of pounds to go, friend.
It's a lot of pounds to go. So the first one got too tiny, and eventually got it off and got it resized, and now apparently I'm even fatter.
Like a tree that engulfs the fence post over time.
Yeah. Right? So I'm thinking, should I get it cut off and resized again, you think?
It depends if you want to keep getting fatter.
Or unless you want one that's fully blinged out. But then you can't say, me and the red, when we was 18, we get this is what we got out of a Cracker Jack box.
Well, you can still have this and have a blinged out one on top of it.
Sure you can.
Or something. Anyway, to answer your question, I can't get it off, so
I'm just curious. Take yours off?
There are times where I do, like if I'm doing construction or if there's something where it just hurts and then I forget to put it back on, I'll go off. But everything's about character. It's about how you carry yourself or, you know, so my wife doesn't ever go, where is your ring?
Well, there's a lot of guys who act in very bad ways with that ring still on their finger.
Yeah, even with the ring. To be honest with you, nowadays, it's amazing that she's saying even men are hiding their rings. A lot of guys don't even hide anything anymore. Yeah. They're out there just trying to fornicate and they don't really care.
Yeah.
So.
I never take mine off. It stays on.
Even if you took mine off, you'd know I had one.
Sure
you would. Can you tell yours?
Do you have an indentation?
Yeah, because I got such an indentation or tan lines.
Actually going to be getting another tattoo and I'm actually going to be tattooing a band on my finger, just so you know.
Because he's not done inking.
Just so you know.
I don't care, Mr. Tattoo, anyway.
It's going to be your name. I'm not just married to my wife.
I love Mark on
your chest. To Gunger.
I love my father-in-law. That's what I'm waiting for.
It's the truth. You marry the family. What's your devotion? What's your dedication right here?
Mm-hmm. Gunger. I want to see it, Gunger. I want to see Gunger on the ring. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right.
Okay. This email says, "I feel like I know you guys. You rock." My question. I know people watch us, and I think that they really do think that
they know us.
Mm-hmm. I've been a Christian for a few years now, but began to be a more serious one when I found Celebration sermons online.
Ooh, cool.
Before I listened to Mark's sermons, I went to church, read the Bible on occasion, attended Bible study, but this past 6 months or so, holy cow, I have grown, learned, and felt more like a Christian than ever before. My problem is I just can't get into reading the Bible. I must listen and or watch at least 3 of Mark's sermons each day. So she's going way far back and catching up on all of
it. Well, she's getting the Bible into that way.
But I pick up the Bible and so she likes listening to you, but I pick up the Bible and my mind starts wandering and I don't even know what I've read.
Yeah.
Why, oh, why is it that when I read the Bible, I get nothing?
Yeah.
When I listen to a sermon of Mark's, I feel very close to God and learn and I grow. I'm so frustrated because
Mark is so godlike, clearly.
You're constantly saying, read your Bible, but she's having a hard time getting anything out of it.
Well, first of all, you know, there's parts of the Bible you can read that is like, you know, painful, especially in the Old Testament, reading Leviticus or something. It's like, I would recommend stay in the New Testament, okay? And even if you don't understand everything, just do it in bits and pieces. There's no requirement for you to read, you know, 8 chapters a day or something like that. And you're learning about the Bible when you listen to preachers like me or other preachers, or you can go online and get these, recordings.
The audio.
That are like,
she did say, I recently downloaded a drama Bible to make it
stuff
more
like
interesting.
Do that.
Yeah.
Dramatic Bible. So there's all kinds of ways you can get the Word of God in you, and it's fine. A lot of people are just not very good readers. Quite frankly, a lot of men don't like reading. Women tend to read way more than men. Yeah. Women like words way more than men.
And it depends what version of the Bible you have, too. If you're trying to understand the old King James
Bible,
that's
going to
be harder than a more modern language version.
You might want to try and get a Living Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it has the footnotes and stuff like that.
Yeah, real simple to read. There's all kinds of versions of. But at the end of the day, you might just figure out, gee, I just don't read very much. I still think you should try to read, but don't feel bad. A lot of people just don't like to read. At least you are compensating for that by the audio versions and stuff, or listen to people's sermons and stuff. The only danger just listening to someone's sermons is if you just believe everything they say and you don't check it out for yourself, you could fall into error, mm-hmm. or, you know, just because me or someone else says, the Bible says such, doesn't mean it really does. You know, that's where you should check it out. But there, you don't have to read the whole Bible to do that. If someone says, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:12 ABC, well, go to 1 Corinthians 2:12 and see if it really says that.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. You know, you don't have to read the whole thing or put it in context a little bit. So, but anyway, yeah, don't feel bad. I mean, a lot of people don't like to read. But she's obviously very committed to get the Word of God in her. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of ways to do it. Cool. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with our final segment right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
We are back. Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships with the amazing Ross Allen Skorzewski and the darling Diane Brierley. What have you got?
Okay, in-law question. She says, I've been married 11 years to my husband. 11 years. They have a six-year-old daughter.
Cool.
My husband's parents live within miles of our home. It's English shame, is...
Wait, we need a little bit of in-law music. All right.
English is not their first language, but they both have worked outside the home and speak very fluent English. However, whenever we visit them, which is every Sunday, they only speak in their first language, which is Vietnamese.
Okay. I have so much for my in-law music. All right. Yeah. So she's mad because they speak Vietnamese.
Yes. She says she's tried to pick up a bit of it, but it hasn't worked out as she hoped. Her parents will ask.
Well, what does that mean? I try, but it hasn't worked out.
For 11 years.
You got to work at it to learn a language. Yeah. Get Rosetta Stone. Best program in the world to learn another language. Yeah.
They will talk to her and ask her just a few
questions. I've tried, and it hasn't worked out.
Right. 11
years. Like, I've tried to go to work, but it just hasn't worked out. It takes work, sweetheart. If you want to learn a language, you got to really give yourself to it. It's not going to just happen.
Yeah. She said it's led to a lot of arguments with the husband. Got to the point that she has stopped going. She won't even go over there anymore. And now the six-year-old daughter is refusing to go over there, which I'm sure is making your husband very unhappy.
Yeah.
The husband thinks the parents should be able to speak Vietnamese because it's their house and mm-hmm. their preference. Mm-hmm. It still doesn't make me feel any better. I've asked my husband to translate for me, but he says it's too tiring doing that. How can I get over my frustration with the situation?
Well, quit being a jerk, lady. Come on.
She feels excluded.
I don't care. You marry into a Vietnamese family. What do you think they're going to speak over there? German? For heaven's sakes, that's what they do. Say, well, they can speak English. Yeah, but that's not their main language. Yeah. And same in Latino families. You go to a Latino family, you're going over there to the fam, they're all speaking in Spanish. When my dad and his, you know, adopted into the Gunger name, they all speak Turkish. Mm-hmm. It's amazing we ever learned English.
Yeah.
My mother's side spoke Spanish, my dad's side spoke Turkish.
And you had to learn English somewhere in there.
We didn't know what was going on. So what? Why are you being a jerk? She's being a jerk. There's no reason for her to be this way. She's being difficult. She's creating problems in her. You go to your in-law's house, they speak Vietnamese. Get over it. That shouldn't be something that's driving you crazy for the last year, 11 years. That's something you should have learned in about 11 days. When we go to the in-laws, they speak Vietnamese. The good news is you can ignore them. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to talk to them. I would love that. I'd love to go over where, because I don't want to really get involved in conversations. Where everybody's speaking a different language. Man, I can be on my iPhone. I can be checking out my iPad. I can be, you know, online.
I would be happy if they just ignored me and let me sit to my own devices.
Oh, yeah. If they just ignore me, it'd be awesome. You're whining about it. Listen, if they want you, you don't need to give me a blow-by-blow translation. Of course that would be tiresome.
But I would just think you would learn it. If it were me and
my spouse, if it really bothered her, she could learn the language.
I would get the stinking Rosetta Stone and learn enough to be able to maybe not be conversant, but to understand what they were saying.
Yes.
And to try to be a part of it and speak English back to them if they understand you.
Look, based on what I'm seeing in this email, she's just being difficult and you are being a jerk to your family. There's no reason for this. You married into a Vietnamese family. What a shock. They speak Vietnamese. Quit being a jerk about it. You go over. Don't. What do you mean you don't go over there anymore? Shame on you.
She gets
the goat button. Where's the goat button? We got to pull all this stuff out today for some of these people.
You have
been goated.
When they first got married, they lived farther apart, so they saw them less frequently. Now, because they're closer together, they see them all the time, and now it's become a bigger problem for
her. What is wrong with people? They just are mean, and then you wonder why your life stinks. How about you go over to someone's house and you're just nice to them? You go to in-laws. My in-laws do this. My in-laws do that. Yeah, what should I do? How about you just be nice? What part of be nice do you not understand? You want to know what your in-laws? Be nice. That's all you got to be. Just go over there, be polite, sit quietly, read a book. Here's your chance to be. You would think women always thought, I'm so overwhelmed by. Here's your chance to sit quietly for a while. Grab a book, get online, do whatever you want to do. Write a letter. Ignore them. Quit being a jerk. Be polite, be considerate. If they want to talk to you, they can speak in English. You really want to know what's going on? Learn Vietnamese. You don't need a personal translator. That slate ticks me off. I've had it. See ya.
Bye-bye, boys.